And so if it's your first time here, we're so stoked you're here. We want to welcome you. How awesome is it to see young people, young adults up here, except for Chris. It's awesome to see Chris, too. But the other, isn't that cool to see, see Nick and Nick? And it's good to see you, too. Yeah, love you. But yeah, if it's your first time, could you do us a favor? We want to honor you by giving you a gift. We'd love to mail you a gift just as our way of saying thank you for coming and hanging out with us. We do recognize that you could be 1,000 different places, and just that you chose to come hang with us, it's a big deal to us. So if you could fill that blue card out in your bulletin and mark first-time guest, we'll make sure to get that gift out to you. My good friend Mike is, I know what it is now. You guys surprised me, you surprised us the first service, but it's not a surprise because it's the second service. But Mike, surfer extraordinaire. He's on our, no, he really is. He took me out surfing. He's a good surfer. And he's on our financial council, amongst many other things. Him and his wife are just such a blessing. But he wants the microphone for a few minutes.
Good morning. My name is Mike Milwaukee. Again, to mention, I'm a member of the financial council here at Hope. I'm actually here for two reasons today. The first reason is I didn't really read my job description too carefully, and I ended up having to do something that I wasn't expected to. But more importantly, again, October is Pastor Appreciation Month nationally. I'd like to invite some of the people up here that are helping to run this church through their efforts that you see, but in most instances, are behind the scenes. Pastor Joe and Katrina, we won't forget you this time. Chris and Amy, Jackie, and if Megan's in the room, come on down. Let's hear it for him. As you can see, to use a baseball analogy, we have a deep bench, unlike the Cubs. I'm a Cubs fan, trust me. How they find the hours in the day has always amazed me, and we are blessed to have them serving here at Hope. Before we pray to your future success, I wrote this in here, but I think they've already... Here's a small token of your appreciation from the people at New Cars. No? Okay. They passed out the envelopes earlier. But now let us extend a hand in agreement and support. God, bless these people here and at Scotts Valley who bring so much to your table, unselfishly and tirelessly, and help them continue with your perfect guidance. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. That was a surprise. It was a complete, I had no idea last service, and I didn't really know what to say. I was all kind of choked up, my wife will tell you that I usually am very rarely silent. So to render me speechless is kind of a miracle in and of itself. So thank you guys so much. It truly, truly, and I know I could speak for Chris and Amy and Jackie and Megan. It really is a joy to be here. It's a joy to be a part of this family. And I just want to say one thing, too. Your role in this family is no... no more important, no less important than our roles, you know, and it's really not. We do things, that's one of the core values that we have as a church, right, to do church as a team. And so, and we really do, we cherish that. And so we love you guys. We're so privileged to truly be serving you and to just be here hanging with you and doing our best that, you know, just collectively as a group to love God, right, and love people. So thank you guys again. We are in the last week of our series, Unusual Suspects. So you could turn to your neighbor and just say, "You're unusual." Say it. They're unusual. Yeah. Some of you are getting a little too much into that. That's you are unusual. Back at you, buddy. So, really, the whole purpose of the message and the series really is to show us through Scripture, right, through the Bible, that God really does choose a lot of unusual people to do incredible things throughout the earth. And I'm so glad I qualify for that, because I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just not that special. And so that God would allow me to be a part of his story, to be a part of his narrative in just helping people, you know, find him and follow him is such a great honor. But have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Have you ever been in a mess? Have you ever found yourself? It could be your own decision making caused you to be in a mess. If you're like me, you've probably been in a bunch of messes, right? And then sometimes too, other people's decisions can create a mess, right, as well, that we don't really have a choice in the matter. A few years ago, it's probably like I've been here 3 years, so it's like 4 or 5 years ago. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, as many of you know, and I found myself traveling from time to time, and I was in Green Bay for the very first, actually it was the second time, I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, real beautiful place. Wisconsin is gorgeous, and Green Bay, I've always thought that was pretty amazing. Green Bay Packers, and gosh, they're doing a little better than the Niners. We need to pray for the Niners, but we'll spend some time later praying for the Niners. We won't pray for the Cubs, Mike. We won't, although they do need comfort because my Dodgers won. Thank you. And they're going to win the World Series, by the way. So I found myself in Green Bay, and I used to love running. I kind of got out of the habit of it, but I used to run every day. It was just one of the things that I could do to clear the cobwebs and get some physical exercise at the same time. And so up there, whenever I traveled, I always brought my running shoes, and this trip was no different. So I'm up there, and there's beautiful rivers, and there's like river walks where you can run. I thought, oh man, this is going to be great. And we had a little break, and my coworker and friend went with me as well. We went up there, and we had a little break in our event. We were doing some training. We were training some leaders, and we had about three hours. And so he wanted to take me to this place that he's been to, because he's been to Green Bay many times. He wanted to take, it's like a Brazilian, kind of a Brazilian steakhouse, but it wasn't specifically steak. It was just this buffet where you just go pick all these different meats and vegetables and sauces and all this, and it's kind of looks like heaven a little bit if I'm honest, and then you put everything and they put it on the grill and they grill it all up for you, and it's a buffet, it's all you can eat. And I love all you can eat because I like to gorge myself occasionally, you know. The Bible does talk more about feasting than fasting. Side note, that one's for free. So I'm there just feasting, you know, and I'm not really thinking. I'm not really. Usually, when I get in that mode, I'm just not thinking, you know, very much about, you know, 10,000 calories or anything like that. But I am thinking, oh man, I got my running shoes. I could run. I could take some of that off, whatever. And so. We went and we feasted. I don't even remember. I was like 4 or 5 different times. I'm going back, just, you know. And so I'm going to get my money's worth. And so I did. And then we went back to the hotel. My coworker went to his room, and he's like, I'm going to take a nap. You know, kind of when you eat that much, you pretty much want to take a nap, right? Most of us. But I went. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna go run. So I was like, I'm gonna go running. And so I went down. The hotel was right near this river walk, and I start to run. I made a decision in my mind. I was just gonna run down the river for 2.5 miles, turn around, come back. So a 5 mile run. And for me at that point, that wasn't that long of a run. And so I get about a mile into it, and have you ever made a decision that when you make the decision shortly after, you kind of regret it? You get buyer's remorse? Yeah. I was having that about a mile into this run because I just remembered that I just feasted really, really hard. And it's probably not a good idea to go running that soon, after a buffet meal. And so I'm running about a mile into it, and I start to get a stomach ache. You already know where this is going. And I'm getting a stomach ache, and I'm like, oh, man. And I'm thinking, oh, dude, should I just turn around now? I was like, no, because, it went away a little bit. I was like, oh, cool, I'll keep running. And then it starts to get worse and worse and worse, and I'm getting close. I didn't even get to the 2.5 mile mark, and I'm stopping. I'm like all hunched over, and I finally do get to the. I like goals, and I like competition. I'm pretty competitive, so I'm not gonna go out like a chump like that, you know. So the wise thing to do would have been turn around, and the right thing would have been just don't even do it, right? That's just dumb, right? That's just dumb. All of you are probably sitting there, dude. That's pretty dumb, like to go eat a buffet like that and then go running. Like, what are you thinking, dude? And so I went and I got to the 2.5 mark and I sat down and I was just all hunched over in pain and just the whole Hershey rumbles and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, I got 2.5 miles to get back. What's my best option? I could walk back. So I'm thinking, it's probably running. It's probably hard on your stomach, right? I got 6 or 7 pounds of food. Just, it's probably rough on my stomach. I think maybe I'll walk, but I was like, but I got to really go to the bathroom. Walking 2.5 miles, that's a long time. That's going to take a long time. And so I thought, I don't think I have enough time to get, walk. And so I just decided to kind of lightly just jog back. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And come on, let's be honest. Like, if you're honest, you've had this moment where it got bad enough to where you're tightening the cheeks and you're, so I'm kind of like this, and I don't even think that helps, but we all try it, see if it works. And so I get about another half a mile into it, and it's getting really, really bad. And I look up, there's nothing, there's no restaurants, nothing, just a river and nothing, just river on this side, trees and bushes and fields and just nothing. And so I'm running, but I did see something off in the distance, probably like a football field away. There was like an office, looked like an office. I thought, oh man, I'm gonna go to the office, and I don't even care. Like, I'll just walk right in. I gotta go bad. Gotta use your bathroom. It doesn't matter, right? When you get to that desperate place, how many of you know that your prayer life gets activated in moments like that? If you didn't, you could go a week without praying. In a moment like that, every single one of you will be praying. Oh, God, please, not me, not now, please. And so I was praying vehemently, and so I start to dash through the bushes and the trees and all that to get to this office, and I didn't make it. I didn't make it. You guys could read between the lines, and it was a really, really bad mess. And so a lot of mess. And so I sit down in my mess, and I'm just sitting down in my mess thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to do right now. And so I had a few moments where I was trying to troubleshoot, trying to come up with a solution. I mean, what do you do? What do you do when that happens, right? And I still have about 2 miles to go. And I'm like, oh my goodness, right? I'm not going to tell you all the gory details. That was plenty right there. I did get out of the mess. We find ourselves, it's much, in some ways, it's much like life, right? We get ourselves into some messes that we don't need to. We learn by them, certainly, or at least have the opportunity to learn by those messes, those mistakes, right? And And sometimes we get stuck in the mess and we just get stuck. Like, have you ever made a decision or a series of decisions where, and then you're dealing with the consequences of that. You're just sitting in your own mess and you just get stuck there, right? For a while. That happens in life. Some of you might even be stuck in a mess right now. It could be you're stuck in some broken area of your life. And it could be a relationship. It could be financial. Maybe you made some financial decisions. It could be your marriage. It could be at your job. It could be just a number, right? A plethora of different things where maybe by making bad decisions, you find yourself. It could be your health. It could be just not taking care of yourself, you know, health-wise, and now you find yourself in a mess. It could be that somebody else's decision and somebody else created the mess, and you're dealing with their mess, too. And because of that, it's a mess for you as well. So it's not just our decisions. Other people definitely play a part in that as well. We're going to be reading about a really, really big mess. We've titled the message From Mess to Messenger. And the guy, we don't even know the guy's name. It's in Mark 5. If you can turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark 5. If you don't have a Bible, you could pull one of those blue ones and borrow that. And if you don't own a Bible at all, you can have one of those Bibles if you'd like. To make it easy, in the blue Bible, it's on page 685. And it's just the entire chapter. I'm going to read through it real quick. It's a phenomenal story. It's a rated R story. It's incredible what God reveals and just what he reveals about himself in this story. So starting in verse 1, if you're following along, they went across the lake, they being Jesus and his disciples, his 12 disciples, to the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. This guy had like supernatural strength. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man, I love this, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Crazy story, right? And at first glance, if you're reading through it, it's kind of like, rad, go Jesus. And you don't really relate to it because it is such an extreme story, right? It really is. It is one of the most extreme stories in the Bible. When you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at all the stories about what Jesus did and what he said and how he took care of people, he healed people, and he's bringing hope to people and all this. Like, it is one of the most extreme stories. So it's so easy to just read through it and be like, well, doesn't really apply to me. I mean, I got clothes on. I'm not cutting myself. I'm not living in a graveyard, right? But when you look further, when you look deeper into it, and when you take a moment and really just start to dissect it a little bit, there's a lot in there. There really is a lot in there. And I love that sometimes, I just love sometimes in the scriptures, there are extreme cases. There are extreme narratives because it gives me hope. And it's like, dude, oh my gosh, like if Jesus could do something that amazing for that guy, like, I have certainly have hope, right? And not only that, but certainly the people around me as well. How many times do we discard people all the time and all around us, and we get hopeless, right? For them, think about that. The community, that community didn't have any hope. Guaranteed, they had very little hope. What about that dude's mom or dad? That guy's a son. We don't even know how old he is. We don't know what took place to get him there, right? But we see people all around us all the time with a whole bunch of different levels of brokenness, right? Or hopelessness, addictions, and just you name it. And I always say this. I always say this and because it's so worth repeating, is that you don't have to go further than the mirror to see brokenness, right? Because we are all broken. And so it's important to that, even though this is an extreme story, it's really, really important that we recognize that even though this guy was definitely experiencing some serious hopelessness, right? I guarantee you his parents and his family and his friends and all that, who knows, like, what they were going through, but I guarantee you they were going through a lot of hopelessness for this guy. And what happens with hope, and it's easy, and we've all experienced this, but we all start off on track with hope, right? Something happens, whether it's in our marriage or could be another type of relationship, or we're just financially strapped, or just whatever. It could be just areas in our own heart that need to be healed, and a lot of the times what we do is we have hope in those moments. We have hope that God's going to change things. We have hope that it's going to get better. And then what happens from time to time is that if that doesn't happen, right, and if it doesn't get better, because sometimes, let's be honest, it gets worse, right? Doesn't it? It gets worse. I mean, at some point in this life, this guy's life, it got worse, and then it got worse, and then it got worse, and then it got worse. So sometimes it does get worse before it gets better, right? Isn't that true? And then what we do is we start to get in a place of hopelessness, and now our hope starts to dissipate, right? And then hopelessness starts to increase. And so it's a really dangerous place because God, I love even, you know, God says this, he says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. God really wants hope to be flooded. He wants to flood our hearts with hope. He always wants us to be in hope, right? Not only hope for ourselves, but hope for other people as well. We're going to talk about, there's so much in there that we could talk about, but I'm going to talk about, there's three real basic points that I'm going to pull out of this, and hopefully we can apply it to our lives. But hope for change, because we all want change, right? I mean, don't we all, isn't there, there's got to be something, there's got to be at least one thing, if not more, if you're anything like me, there's a lot of things in your life that you have hope, you want to change. Right? And so what I want to see happen out of this is that I want to see hope increase in all of your hearts, in my heart as well. That when Jesus is on the scene, things change. things definitely radically change. Not always instantaneous like it did with this gentleman, but sometimes also through a process, oftentimes through a process. But hope for change happens when we, first of all, if you're following along in your notes, bring our mess to Jesus. That's what that guy did. Think about what that guy had to do, what he had to overcome to bring himself, to bring his mess. I mean, think about the shame. Think about, because sometimes when we make mistakes and we deal with the ramifications, the consequences of our mistakes, we go through shame, don't we? We get embarrassed about our decisions. We get embarrassed a little bit about our lives, and we want to protect that. We don't want anybody to see that. I mean, I don't. Like, if I'm making mistakes, you know, like, I mean, I just told, you know, 200 people that I crap my pants in Green Bay. I don't enjoy getting up here and saying that, you know, but spiritually speaking as well, it's not fun to admit that you're broken. It's not fun to go to a person and just say, "Man, like I'm broken, right? I need help." It's always hard. There's always that wrestling of pride. This guy, butt naked, living in a graveyard, right? And he's bloody because he's a cutter. He's bloody, and he somehow overcomes the depression. I don't know if it was just a flicker of hope. I don't know. Maybe it was just a ray of light and he had to push through all of that to bring himself out of a place because Jesus is near. And I love the what it says there that Jesus, it just gives such a beautiful picture of people in their mess, but Jesus is always near. He's always near. And so he makes this radical, just entrance. Like, I'm gonna get there. And he shows up right in front of Jesus with all of his mess, with all of his mistakes, all of those terrible decisions. Whatever got him to that place, his nakedness. Just he's just right before Jesus. And Jesus helps him, right? He helps him. And so there's a couple of things that as we bring our mess, as we bring all of that to Jesus, right, there's a couple of things that I just want to encourage us. And the first is that don't underestimate God's power. If this story doesn't show that, I don't know what it does. Don't underestimate God's power. Because oftentimes what we do with our messes is we make them to be bigger than God, don't we? We do. Cancer, all these different things that seem like big problems. It could be a small problem, but oftentimes we make them out to be bigger than God. And when we get into a place of hopelessness, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for other people, we make that out, whatever that is, we make it to be bigger than God. We cannot afford to underestimate God's power. In one moment, he can change all of that. Also, too, don't minimize your involvement. We cannot minimize our involvement. It took effort on this guy's part. Like, he did play a role in it, right? He was the one that had to bring his mess all to Jesus. He had to do something. And so oftentimes, like me in Green Bay, it's real easy to just get, I could have just got stuck there for hours and hours, just paralyzed. So sometimes the messes that we create, they can have a tendency to just paralyze us so that we don't make a decision. And sometimes, oftentimes, you get stuck, we can get stuck in a mess that we just grow accustomed to and we just grow comfortable with. It's just like, it's been a part of our lives so much that we no longer go to God. We no longer bring it to God, right? The Bible says that if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find, right? If you knock, the door will be open to you. When you read that in context, it's a continual asking. It's a continual seeking. It's a continual knocking. And for some of us in here, we have areas of our life that we just, it's hopeless. We're going to live with it. We're going to live with the results. We're no longer going to bring the mess to Jesus. We can't underestimate God's power, but we certainly can't minimize our involvement as well. And you know what? It's not just bringing our mess to Jesus. It's also bringing our mess to each other. You know, the one thing that I, there's so many, many things that I love about my wife, but one of the things I love about my wife is that she sees me, she knows me for who I am. And all the good stuff, you know, because there's a lot. I mean, look, I'm such a good-looking dude. But all the brokenness, too, the brokenness, she knows it all. And when I come to her, when I come to her with broken areas, she's not shocked. Most of the time, she already sees it, right? God's not shocked with our mess. He's not offended by our mess, right? He's not offended when you mess your pants. He's just not offended. He's really not. And he you know, he does so good just loving us through the mess. That's like what Katrina always points me to God. She always loves me. She never judges me. She never makes me feel embarrassed about my bad decisions or my brokenness or everything. Can you imagine, like, that's my wife and she's not perfect. How much better and more awesome is God in that regard? We got to get a right perspective of God. Sometimes we hide in that, you know, but choose some of your friends. I'm not saying just bring all of your broken areas to every single person in this planet. I'm not saying that. Like, I am saying, though, build relationships with people that you can trust. Build relationships with people that you can bring a mess to. They're not going to flinch. They're not going to look at you like you have a unicorn coming out of your head, right? And they're going to help you. They're going to help support you and walk with you through that mess. So like James 5:16 says, if you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's another way that we can help bring other people to. We can bring other people to Jesus, right? We can bring other people to Jesus through prayer. My mom was always praying for me, constantly praying for me. I know I wouldn't be here this day. I would not be doing what I do. I would not be living the life that I live without the prayers of my mom. I can guarantee that. She was so faithful and just praying and asking God, you know, because I was always out there. Just my life was just a mess. When you bring your mess to Jesus, he can turn your mess into a masterpiece. I can't even begin to tell you how many times that he's somehow, God is so amazing like that, that he's taken my mess and he's turned it into a masterpiece. He's turned it completely into something that is not only a blessing to me, but even at times a blessing to someone else. He might not be able to do that to the 49ers season this year, but maybe. Are you anybody 49ers fans in here? We need to bring that mess to Jesus, don't we? The only thing messier is the Cleveland Browns. Pun intended, Browns. Yeah, anyway, you guys are catching it. Because, you know, because Cleveland, they have the same record, 0-6, but they live in Cleveland, you know what I mean? It's like we live in Santa Cruz. So yeah, pray for your brothers and sisters in Cleveland. Look at what it says in James 4:8. It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. I love that promise. Anytime you ever come to God, if you ever make a step to God, if you ever just get before God, he'll never ever, it doesn't matter how big the mess, he'll never ever turn you away. In fact, it says the exact opposite. He gets closer. He gets closer to you. He comes near, even nearer to you. The second, if you're following along, is believe the message of Jesus. Even though this man's life was out of control, there was some small shred of faith, right, that he had that led him to come down to the water to meet Jesus. We always got to remember that even though it takes us to be able to respond to his goodness. I love the way John puts it. It says this, that no one can come to me, Jesus said this about himself, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. So it gives this real vivid picture of guess what? God is always, always pursuing you. Always. He's always pursuing. It doesn't matter if you're on the right path and then all of a sudden you get off, you know, you just go off the rails. Like, he's pursuing you. If you're on the right path, he's still pursuing you. If you're just, your whole life is a mess, he's pursuing you. He loves you. He loves to be right there in that mess with you and with me. That really is the story of Jesus. I mean, you think about what God did, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Like, God literally, the Father bankrupted heaven by sending his own son. Like, it's amazing that Jesus would come in the midst of all of our mess and just the mess that this world was in and is in. And yet God is just like right there in the thick of it, right there in the mess. And he's pursuing people. He's loving people. And he's at the same time, he's still even serving people, which is so crazy to think that Jesus serves us. Right? He said that. He said, I didn't come into the world to be served, but to serve the world, right? To serve you, to serve me, right? He wanted to give his life as a ransom for many. It's really cool. So we got to believe the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus will always infuse and grow hope in you and I. Always. If you feel hopeless, bring it all to Jesus. If you feel just in despair, right? And if you feel and you're in that place where you're just like I can't do this anymore, and I don't believe that he's going to help me in this, and like bring it all to him and that all that hopelessness, even if it just means something like, look, God, just be real and be honest with him. Like, God, I'm kind of hopeless in this area of my life. Can you help me to be hopeful, right? God said that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. I love that God wants all of those to be in our lives actively, consistently, constantly, right? Hope, it needs to be a big part of our life. And it really, really, it helps carry us on. It's amazing when you have hope. Right? We've all felt that. Like, we've all been in seasons of our life or regardless of how black it looks, how dark it looks, there's something about hope, right? That even brings joy, and it just keeps us going at times. The third thing, and I'm going to close with this, a few more points, is become the messenger for Jesus. I love that this guy he was a mess, and then he brought it all to Jesus. Jesus took care of it, and this guy's just like, oh, man, can I go with you, Jesus? Can I go with you? Can I? Pick me, right? He's just like, I want to go with you. Of course. Like, can you imagine? I mean, wouldn't you do that too? I mean, you were just naked and bloody in just a total, complete brokenness and despair and depression and suicidal to the point of you're cutting yourself and all this stuff, living in a graveyard. Your address is a graveyard. Jesus just rearranged and changed every single thing about your life. And now all of a sudden he's got a sound mind. Some of us need a sound mind today, right? I mean, really, let's get real. Like, if we're going to get real, sometimes it's hard to shut this thing down. And sometimes it's hard that the thoughts that are going on in here are a little bit cray-cray, right? They're a little crazy. I mean, we just can't, like, it's like this constant chatterbox of just this and that, or what do they think about me? And you're thinking about, and you lay it awake at night trying to go to sleep. And we all do it, right? And sometimes in our lives, depending on what's going on in our lives at that moment, we lack peace. And look at this guy. Can you imagine what was going on in this dude's mind? Wow. And then yet Jesus completely healed him, and he was clothed, sitting down clothed in his right mind. I want to be in a place where I'm in my right mind. Right? We're thinking the right thoughts. We're not thinking all these poisonous, toxic thoughts, because our the battle oftentimes, right, is in between the ears. So he made this guy a messenger. He said, no. He's all, no, 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 you can't come with me. But guess what? I'm going to send you. Go home and go to the Decapolis. The Bible says he basically sent him into the Decapolis. The Decapolis was back then, was 10 cities. It was a region of 10 cities. And Jesus just tags, you know, Jesus always says that. He says that about himself. He was never shy about saying, look, I'm the light of the world, guys. I'm the light of the world. And then what he does is he says, hey, follow me. And then he tags you and he tags me and says, guess what? Now, tag, you're the light of the world. And that's what he did with this guy. He passed the baton and he just said, dude, now go tell everybody what I've done for you. Go tell everybody what I've done for you. And so he basically was put in charge as like Jesus's leader over 10 cities. Really cool, right? It's a good news. You don't have to go to Bible school, you guys. Like, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to become a pastor. You don't have, like, God wants to use you. He wants to help you in your messes, and then he wants to do something incredible to help repair us and fix us and heal us, and then he wants to send us into our communities, whether that's our workplace, our neighbors, or our families, our friends, and then he wants you to be a messenger. I'm not saying in a weird way, like going around. There are people, and we've met them. Hopefully, you're not sitting next to one of them that are weird. What I call weird Christians, right? They're weird. They're just straight up weird. I'm a little weird. I mean, I know it. I get it. But you know what I'm talking about? Just overkill, man. They're just like overkill Bible thumpers, just constantly like whipping you over. Like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about as we go about life and we, you know, we look for opportunities to just share the love of Jesus. Sometimes we don't even have to mention his name, right? For people to know that, wow. This dude or this girl, they're good, they're kind, they're loving. Like, what's going on, right? I mean, think about it. This guy was a complete mess, and then Jesus just said, dude, now you're my messenger. That's really cool. That's really cool. That's so cool. And guess what? We have, the longer we have a relationship with Jesus, the more stories we have. I am a little bit weird, so I'll have to tell you. We were just talking about this last night because we got a plane ticket for me to go see my daughter who's up in Portland, and I'm a little weird. This is not, just understand this. This is not a prescription. This is a description. So in other words, it's not a prescription like do this. It's definitely not a pat myself on the back, but I just want to expose a little weirdness to you. For me, sometimes I have like I work in this place and I get to work with a lot of great people like Jackie and Danny and Erica and Megan. It's like I and Chris and Amy. I get to be around these people all the time, which is great. But I also want to be around people that don't know God at all. Like, I actually love that. I enjoy that. Because I just figure God has been really, really good to me, and I just want to be good to everybody around me. Like, if God's given me anything, and I want to give it away. Right? I just want to give it away. And so I know I'm still broken. I know that I'm still a work in progress. So are you. So we're in good company. But I just want to be able to give it away. I want to serve people. I want to love people, whatever. So this is where I'm weird, is we're picking out my plane ticket, and we get an opportunity to choose the window or the aisle. Because nobody ever picks the middle seat, right? No, I do. I'm weird. And Katrina already knew this about me, so it wasn't a surprise. I like to pick the middle seat. Here's why. It's because I get an opportunity to connect with people. And hopefully, maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't always happen, but maybe I'll have an opportunity to be able to share with them the love of Jesus. Maybe I'll get an opportunity to brag about my King. That's the whole reason. And if I get shut down on the left, then that's okay. I got somebody on the right I can pick on. Right? And you know, so yeah, so that's weird. Again, not a prescription. It's just a description. It's just, and it's going to look different for all of us, right? It's going to look different for everybody because everybody has a different personality. Everybody has, you know. But I did. Here's one of the things that it doesn't always work. Sometimes it backfires. Sometimes I get shut down on both sides. I'm like, oh, cool, right on. Headphones, you know. Like I don't force it. I just see if it comes kind of organically or if it comes naturally or whatever. I'm not like trying to like fit it in there. Oh, hey, what do you think about this guy named Jesus? Like, you know, I'm not getting weird. I'm weird, but I'm not that weird. But so I got an opportunity when I was flying back from Denver, Colorado. For some of you that are basketball fans, this would mean something to you. For those of you who don't really know or care about basketball, I'm sorry, because it's amazing. No, and for those of you who are praying for the Warriors, keep praying for the Warriors. We're 1-2 right now. This is terrible. I mean, we lost like 2 games in the whole entire season last year, and we've already lost 2. Sorry, side rant. But this guy sits next to me. I'm in the middle seat because I picked it, and the dude on the left shut me down already. He was chaffed about something probably that he had to sit next to me. But in comes George Karl and sits down right next to me. He's a famous, well accomplished NBA basketball coach. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so I start talking to him. And at first, he's shutting me down at first. He's got his hat on. Like, I think he doesn't want to be known. You know, he's just got his hat on like this. And so anyway, I just start talking to him a little bit. And I'm almost at the point where I'm thinking, this dude's shutting me down, right? And I just, whatever. I found some way of being able to talk to him that he just started opening up. And he starts talking. I got to talk to this guy for over three hours, and a lot of it was basketball, and some of it was I got to tell him about what Jesus has done in my life. I actually got a chance to pray for him because he was going through cancer, and I'm like, what? This is so cool. That's the kind of thing that God loves to do in and for people like you and me. He loves to give us an opportunity. And so I don't do this perfectly all the time. I definitely don't do it perfectly all the time. But I like to try to think about my day and just be like, God, would you give me opportunities to just love and serve people? Because they're all around us. I really believe that God wants to give us opportunities. And he's going to give you opportunities that he's not going to give me based on how you're wired and how you're created and your giftings and your circle of influence and all that, right? And I think that's the coolest thing. Now, did he make a decision that day to follow Jesus? That's not even the point, right? Like, people aren't our projects. Like, Jesus has loved us so well. And so we just want to love people well, right? And if that ends up happening, then that's great, because I definitely want to see people find and follow Jesus for sure. Does that make sense? So I'm weird. You guys aren't going to judge me? You're going to forgive me? Joe's weird. He's totally weird. He picks the middle seat. What's wrong with that dude? This guy was incredibly, incredibly hopeless, right? He was in a mess. Bad, bad mess. And Jesus changed his life and made him a messenger. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're headed, no matter what anybody close to you has gone through, no matter where they're at in life, there is always reason for hope. Always reason for hope. Check out this video real quick. Destiny, amazing young lady.
Hey guys, I'm Destiny. I'm 28 years old. I've lived in Santa Cruz my whole life. My early childhood was not the easiest. I was born into a family of 4 kids. I was the youngest. And my mom was a single mom, and she also struggled with mental illness. By the time I was 6 years old, I was removed from my home and placed into foster care. I was moved 5 times in 2 years. Losing your family, or losing my family, losing my home, not being able to be with my siblings, having to go somewhere totally new, it was very scary. I became very untrusting. I built walls up around me. I just really didn't know what was gonna happen. I really felt at times like all hope was lost. Over the next 2 years in the foster care system, I slowly started to see people who really, really cared about me, And that was everyone from people at my school, my teachers, people in the community, my foster parents, people at church. And that was starting to kind of give me a little bit more of hope. And then by the time I was 9, I entered my foster family that later officially adopted me. And that experience for me really was the greatest example of the love of Christ, bringing me in and just, you know, not just meeting my basic needs, but loving me and calling me their own and restoring that family that I had lost, and really just making me new. And that hope I felt like was lost and that I may never get again really was restored. And now as an adult, I have been given this really awesome opportunity to share my story, and I've been placed in the same exact community that I grew up in and get to work with kids through my preschool, and I've been helping out with the foster care system today and getting to do different things that are giving these kids hope and are giving these kids something to look forward to in times of such hard situations. One of the really great things I've gotten to be a part of over the last year and a half are hosting movie nights for our foster families and families who have adopted. These movie nights are held here and hosted by Hope Church at the Santa Cruz location every couple of months. And these events are really awesome because they're free for the families, and the families really have pretty limited funds that mainly go to the kids' basic needs. So for them to come and hang out and have pizza and popcorn and just have a good time is just such an awesome thing to be a part of, and I really want to invite you guys to come be a part of it. Our next movie night is Friday, October 27th at 6:30 p.m., and if you want to be a part of volunteering and just showing these kids and families love, the same kind of love that I saw through the community growing up, please make sure to write on your Connect card, movie night, and we'll get in touch with you and get you hooked up to come be what Hope's all about, which is loving on our community.
Isn't that awesome? So cool. She took, obviously, her mess, right, her hopelessness, and God did something completely different, made it a part of her story, actually, and used, took a mess, made her a messenger, and now look at what she's doing, not only with kids, with the you know, the preschool and all that, but look at what she's doing with foster care, and it's amazing what God can do with some of our messes. He creates a masterpiece out of so many of our messes.